the Dog and Joe Show at 916-766-9370.
Time for another exciting edition of
What's Your Deal?
What's your deal?
All right, 766-9370. Anything at all you want to discuss, you want to share advice, you want it, you need it, hop on the phone. Say good morning, 766-9370. It's an odd occasion today. I don't have a deal. I mean, I do. I always have deals. I've got multiple deals. I can do What's Your Deal from the time we go on the air until the time we leave daily.
I think we all know that.
But today, Joe has a deal. So, 766-9370. Joe, share. Well, what is your deal this morning?
I'll give you the long and short of it.
Can we just get the short of it?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I got Digger a bearded dragon.
Ooh.
And he was going to get it for his birthday, and we ended up getting it for around Christmas time because we wanted to do a little research on them.
And you researched something or he did?
No. We wanted him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know a little bit about reptiles. I had a snake growing up and also a Chinese water dragon, so kind of a lizard too.
So quickly though, for those out there, to the untrained ear, what is a bearded dragon?
It's kind of like your beginner lizard that you would get. So you go, it's I don't know, about 6 inches long when you get them. You can get them as a baby. He's usually a month or two old.
Okay.
And they're easy for kids to have.
Yeah.
And feed and take care of. And they're kind of...
Do you pet these things? Do you sleep with them? Do you hug them? Or do they just... You throw them in a jar and you just watch them?
Well, God, I guess you could sleep with them and put them in your bed with you.
Traditionally, though, people do not.
No, but okay. They sit on your shoulder and you can play with them. And I guess they could be some of them out there that are a little aggressive and bite, but this one doesn't. It's real nice. And loves them, and has formed some sort of a little bond with them. It's weird.
Yeah, it's called, hey, please feed me, and I won't leave my aquarium.
Ah, well, that's the thing. It's formed a bond with something that's not feeding him. Now we've got to the deal. So he's studied this lizard. Uh-huh. He's learned how to take care of it.
Okay.
He's even learned the correct temperature and when it needs to get a little bath or be bathed, and what kind of lettuce it needs to eat, only the greens. Like, he's learned all this stuff at 7,
okay.
Which impressed me. You know, I thought, okay, you're ready. Well, let's go get you this thing. So we buy the tank and the lizard and the setup, and we get it all set up, and then ever since Christmas time, it's been my lizard.
Oh, so you're the one taking care of and feeding and washing and lettucing and doing all this.
Yeah, and he helps twice. The entire time, he's helped me like twice feed this thing.
So he's not doing anything?
Except playing with it.
So what is the deal now? He won't feed him?
Yeah. And it's not that I have a huge issue with it. I mean, it's not that much trouble to get it. I mean, it's a little bit of work and whatever else.
You like lizards, though.
And I like animals. And yeah. I like doing that kind of thing. So I like taking care of things. But it's his. And I'm trying to teach. And I'm having a hard time with it because here's the thing. If you force, this is what I learned from my dad. My dad forced things on me. Then you don't like it.
It's what dads do.
Then you don't want it.
Yeah, but then when you get older, you're like, oh, dad was right. I wish he would have forced more on me.
How can I do it without forcing it?
Okay, so let me ask you this question. I know nothing about reptiles. I know nothing about lizards. I hate that stuff. Anything that belongs in an aquarium, boring.
Think of it as a pet. Maybe fish.
Boring. Anything that lives in a tank or an aquarium or has a habitat, yuck.
Yeah, why would you like beauty?
How much was this lizard?
Ooh, that's the thing.
$200?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Well, no, the lizard itself was like $39 or whatever.
But you mean everything, the aquarium and all the crap. Okay, yeah. So it's a $30 lizard.
And each week it's about 15, 10 to 15 for food.
To feed it?
Yeah.
How big does it get?
It eats a lot, dude.
You got to be kidding me. That costs more to feed that than your dog.
Yeah, 10 to 15 a week is probably a little high.
Yeah, I mean, what are you saying? It really costs you that much?
Well, it's pricey. You got to get it crickets. You got to get it mealworms and superworms, and I'm buying them once a week, each one of these things.
Jesus Christ.
So it's going through quite a bit. I feed them 6 or 8, you know, worms a day, and then probably 20 crickets a day, and then, you know, lettuce.
I mean, there's people out there that could live on $15 a day.
Yeah.
And that thing is eating that a week. I mean, that's a human...
It's probably actually between $5 and $7 a week.
Okay, let's get down to the brass tacks. Yeah. It's probably more like $250, $3
a week. No. It's about $5 a week, dude.
Okay. You know? So this lizard was $30.
Yeah.
And you want to teach Digger to take care of it because he won't take care of it.
And he loves it, and he likes to have it, and he's done the research in it. I just want him to do the hard stuff as well as the fun stuff.
Stop. That's my advice to you. Stop doing everything and let it die.
Let the lizard die.
Let it die.
No way.
Yeah.
And there's no way I can do that.
People are going to think that this is awful advice, and they're going to say, dog, how dare you? You guys do all the work over there for Front Street, and you guys get dogs adopted and cats. Here's the thing. When you look at the food chain, when you look at the pecking order, when you look at the advancement of all the different species that we hold in captivity, lizard at the bottom rung. I say, and here, this is why, I know this lizard, it's important to you and it's important to him right now, but when you look at the circle of life and the global enormity of it, this little lizard in this little span of time is so much smaller than this lizard's life. I mean, so much bigger than this lizard's life. If you teach him that if you do not nurture, care for, and take care of things and they die, that lesson that you give him, more valuable than this lizard's life. And I know that sounds horrible.
It does.
But if you let it die, he will learn that if you are not taking care of things, they do not live.
Oh, I don't know that I could teach a lesson like that. I don't think I can do that.
Just walk away. Don't check the temperature. Don't feed it. Don't do anything. Walk out of the room, and let's see how many days until the lizard dies.
Oh, 4, at least.
Okay, then in 4 days.
I'm not going to watch that. A lizard, that little thing emaciate. I've already grown him into a now there's a point of pride on my point with this lizard, because now I've got the baddest bearded dragon in sack. And it's probably because not only of the feeding techniques that I use, but the love that's in my house. So now I've formed a bond with it, like that little dog, that mentally divergent dog that eats its own droppings.
What is this lizard's name?
Spike.
Okay. Don't you think a better name? I wish you would come to me when you name your animals or do these things.
Digger picked the name.
I know, but don't you think his name should have been Puff? The magic bearded dragon. Dana's laughing.
The bearded dragon. Yes.
Lives in a jar. Tank. Then he died one night because the kid didn't feed him. Yeah.
There's no way we can let Puff perish.
Okay, but here's the thing.
That's a great name.
If you did that, it would teach him a lesson far valuable that will last a lifetime.
No parents teach lessons like that.
Haven't you ever, when we were kids, we'd go out, we'd catch lizards all the time. You take them, you put them in a jar, you throw grass in it, you try to find a couple bugs, and then, like, I don't know, 5 months later, you'd walk out in the garage, like, oh crap, I forgot about that lizard, and all you'd find is, like, the little skeleton and the skin.
No, a lot of us didn't do that.
That never happened to all kids.
I mean, we put them in the jars, but then we didn't forget about them in the garage. I mean, I had pet garter snakes and all kind of stuff, frogs and whatever else, but who the hell stuck it on a shelf in the garage and forgot about it?
I thought that was common with a lot of kids, and you might not forget about it, but you think, oh my God, it could last easily 5, 6, 7 days or 10 days. A couple of weeks go by, and you're like, oh crap, I forgot to feed it, and it died.
Well, if you come back to it, and it's a skeleton, you forgot about it for quite some time, I think you're probably driving by the time you remembered where it was at.
Well, here's my point, and I know people think it sounds horrible, but if you let it die, it will teach him that he can no longer do that, and he has to step up to the plate. And I'll take it a step further, because what do you have? You have 2 dogs and a cat?
Mm-hmm. And a lizard now.
I would let the lizard perish to teach him a valuable lesson, and then I would tell him that after he finds out the lizard has died because he didn't care for it, I would tell him that he's no longer allowed to touch the other animals in the house because he's not responsible, and you don't want what happened to the lizard to happen to the 2 dogs and the cat. And that'll hurt him and sink and claw and grind at his little boy emotions and heart so much, he'll become like Jack Hanna. He'll become an animal expert. He'll be like that crocodile hunter. He'll become so loving of animals because of these lessons that he'll love everything and everyone forever.
There is no way. Now you can't touch the kid. Get your hand off that cat. Yeah. I don't want what happened to that lizard to happen
you
to
just
that
tell
cat.
Him, hey, dig,
you
whoa, whoa, whoa.
You cannot do that.
Yeah, animals are off limits until you're older and responsible enough to show us that you know how to love them.
Oh, that would kill him.
766-9370.
To take his dog away from him, that would... Lord.
No, you don't take the dog away from him. You just don't let him touch him because you're fearful of what could happen in his care. I'm here to tell you, parents out there, and I know it takes a...
That's an awful lot, bro.
A thicker backbone and thicker skin to say this and to do this, to follow through with it, but it's only a lizard. Let's go to Frank. Frank, welcome.
My deal is I'm in Southern California, and the dog and Joe show, and Dana, Joe, is not out here, so they need some help out here, and can you guys step up and do it?
Yeah. Oh, wow, yeah, you know what?
All right, River Rockers, come on, let's jump on the bus. We're going down to L.A.
Trip down to SoCal.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. But, Frank, here's the other deal. I got a deal for you. Get the iHeartRadio app. SoCal, NoCal, MoCal. The whole cap doesn't matter where you go. You could take us on the iHeartRadio app, and that way you could always hear us just like you do on the radio. I mean, that's what you do.
Are you there, Frankie? Are you listening? Oh, you know what? He might probably is listening right now. That's how he got a hold of us and knows what we're doing.
Are you listening on the app?
I am.
Okay. Oh, all the way down.
Yeah, there you go. That's easy. But I appreciate the kind words, yeah. That'd be great to do a radio show down in L.A.
I'd love that. I mean, if we didn't have to go down there, if we could stay here. Then
I would never mind living in L.A., but to stay here in Sacramento and do a show down there, that'd be pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, I'd like to see that one day.
Okay, let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you got a deal too. What's up?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jeff.
Yeah, my wife had a conversation with her friend the other night about how she had a baby a couple years ago.
Who, your wife or the friend?
The friend.
Okay.
And she had saved a little piece of her daughter's umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I just thought that was a little strange.
Like what, in a mason jar or something? Or...
Are you kidding me? Yeah, like no. They put it in a beaker, they put it in the fridge.
I mean, and like I don't know what you store, like formaldehyde, or you'd have to store that in some kind of a liquid in a jar or
what. Now, what was this, a stem cell company that did this, or did she keep it at home?
She kept it at home in a plastic baggie, and it's dried up and hard and crusty and nasty looking, and it's just a little piece of the umbilical cord.
Okay. Oh, goodness. Well,
interesting.
I don't know for certain if my wife did that as well. That might have been a thing going on a while back. My son's almost 16. But
sounds legitimate.
I don't know if she did or didn't. You know, you got those, what do they call those damn books? Well, Dana, what are those books called?
The baby book.
Yeah, baby book.
My first steps.
Scrapbook, yeah. Baby book, yeah. So I don't know if it's common, but she just has it in a bag and it just sits there on the desk or the mantle or what?
No. She's got it in her baby book inside of, you know, in like a little cubby hole somewhere or something. And
yeah.
But yeah, she keeps it there. I just thought that was a little strange. And I was talking to Dana, and apparently she's got her daughter's too.
Yeah, I have my daughter's. It's just in a plastic Ziploc bag, not even in a baby book. It's in the top drawer of her dresser, and I just have it in there because I couldn't bear to let go of it.
And it just, yeah, it just looks like a little dried up, curly piece of scab.
Now, I did look up reasons after Jeff asked this because I was curious why you would keep the umbilical cord, you know, aside from sentimental reasons. And there's a bunch of suggestions what to do with it, and I think the reason I held on to it is because I would do something like this. You bury it, and it basically is supposed to tie your kid to your home, like that kind of, like...
Like what? Like you plant a tree and then you put the umbilical cord with it? And there's like...
it just kind of symbolizes your kid being in your home and that kind of stuff. So I think that's probably
what I would do. A little sugar, a little water on there, you'll grow a new child.
Okay, Joe.
Dana, boy, don't you wish you would have known that before you did it the old-fashioned way?
Oh, I would have been pregnant much sooner.
How'd you get that kid so quick? I grew it from an umbilical cord.
Yeah, put it out there in the garden next to the cucumber patch and tomatoes.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of weird and creepy in a little sense, but I don't know. Ours.
I think my wife kept our boys, too, and she just kept a little, you know, it's just I don't know why. You know, you keep the little bracelet, you keep all the hat and all that crap.
Yeah, I have all that stuff.
We cryogenically froze ours, too, but I think Emily probably kept a little piece of it. I think that's what moms do, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, it's like keeping a baby tooth or whatever.
I don't know if you guys know whether or not your wives did this, but did they...
I'm the only one that has a wife, Dana.
Well, Joe's semi-married. We'll call him semi-married.
Thank you, Dana.
He's basically married.
Thank you.
Anyway, did they keep the pregnancy tests?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
been so long for you. Like, he's almost an adult.
Yeah, I don't know if she kept it or not. I remember the night when she showed me and told me she may have. I don't remember.
Yeah, so I threw away Liv's, but this baby, I kept the pregnancy test.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, women keep
but
all that
it's
stuff.
It's so weird. Like, I mean, it's something that has your urine.
Well, that's in a sealed baggie.
But yeah, mine's in a sealed baggie, too.
Yeah.
But it's just weird, like, what little mementos you keep that are important, I think.
I think umbilical cord's probably pretty common.
Yeah, I think so,
too. Are you going to keep this one when you have this new baby?
Yeah, I mean, if I don't lose it.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about this. This is something else, because Dana's very, very tree-huggy.
Mm-hmm.
She is a hippie at heart, and I mean, she could suck the sap out of every tree in Sacramento by hugging it. She would. She's very natural. Are you going to keep the placenta?
I
Have you thought about eating, keeping, or doing something with the placenta?
That's a good question.
She said she's going to have the baby in her backyard in like a tub outside.
Heck yeah. I talked to my midwife about it, too, and she said it's cool. Let's do it. Yeah,
that's a lot different than eating the placenta.
Eating the placenta now is like it's supposed
to be very good for you.
Yeah, that home birth and have doulas and midwives.
Help with postpartum depression.
Yeah, they say if you eat that, it's like a gigantic boot in the ass vitamin that gets you and your baby back up to speed after you have
it.
Kim K ate hers, and that's what got you
I wanted
crazy
to eat Kim K's
it.
Placenta.
Stupid.
You are so crazy.
I would eat the hell. I would eat the hell out of Kim K's placenta.
She did. She ate hers. Remember? She fried it up and ate
it. What a lot of women do is they encapsulate it and they put it in pills, because I could not eat it. That would be too much like eating liver or something like that to me. And with my placenta with Liv, I wanted to donate it to, you know, like the research. I think they do it for like stem cells or something like that.
Okay.
And I know like you and Emily kept Digger's. So if
for stem
get,
cell, for, like if he gets a disease or whatever,
yeah,
they
have a disease.
Then we get that one free. It's like a one free shot.
Get out of
where
jail
they can take
card.
It out. Yeah,
yep.
And then you saw that clinic that was doing all the
isn't that awful?
They weren't keeping the stuff at temp, so they were losing all the eggs.
It was eggs.
Dogs said they were storing them in like a freezer.
Yeah, they had like some whirlpool out in some guy's garage, and it would only get like, you know, 10 degrees below zero.
God, that's awful.
Could you believe it?
I mean,
I would be devastated if that happened to me. So to answer your question, I don't plan on keeping it. Like what happened with my placenta the first time is they basically let it expire. So I couldn't do anything with it and it didn't get donated like it was supposed to.
It just went bad.
And this time around, I have no intentions of eating my placenta.
You don't?
No.
Wow. 766-9370 if there's any River Rockers out there that want to eat Dana's placenta.
Oh, my God.
Well, you gotta, I mean, that's a thing to see.
Hey, got tickets to go see ZZ Top and George Thorogood at Cal Expo.
I couldn't even imagine bagging that up and taking it.
No,
home. That's awful.
Like honestly, like if there was a contest to eat Kim K's placenta, I would have.
Oh, you would eat the whole thing.
Oh, yes, I would have. I would have eaten it all.
I think she did eat it all.
Yeah, I would have sat down like you know you do with a bib when you eat seafood or whatever, and I would have sat down with a napkin over my lap and all my silverware lined up etiquettely, and I would have just sat down and had lunch. Yes, everything would have looked proper, and I would have eaten her placenta.
That's awful.
You just want to eat. I don't want to say that. Never mind.
Yeah.
I believe the chef at the Kardashian chef had hers cooked up as if it was calamari. It looked like a bunch of just calamari
like breaded.
On a plate.
Oh,
bread
God.
And everything. Yeah.
Hey, I guarantee the chef that cooked up her placenta, I guarantee you eat that. I bet you it's better than any restaurant we've been to for a Tuesday.
There is no way.
I bet you it was just divine.
I can't even imagine. That makes me...
Coming up, we'll tell you where we are going for Tuesday. There's a brand new place that opened up. It's called Pete's Placentas and More. We might go there today.
Bye. No, thank you.
Hold on.